Okay. Got it.
Does it have this little letter?
From Baker, Mannock, and Jensen?
Yes.
Yes, got that? Okay, I haven't read it yet. Okay. We'll call this meeting to order. It is the Oceano Community Services District. Tonight is Wednesday, June 11th. It is 6:33 p.m. I'll have a roll call vote, please.
Director White?
Here.
Vice President Lucy?
Here.
President Guerrero?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Angelo?
Here.
All right. Everyone is present. District Legal Counsel is present. If you'd join me for the flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, the next item is agenda review. Do we need a closed session tonight?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, why don't we remove item number 12? Is there a motion to approve?
I so move.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay, and all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the agenda is approved as modified by a vote of 5-0. We'll take item number 5, which is public comment on matters not on the agenda. Is there any public comment this evening on those issues? I see Ms. Tacker coming forward. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I'll just make a quick note. You just removed your closed session. What I was looking for on closed session was the response to the letter related to the election. That was supposed to be on your closed session as of your last meeting, but it didn't end up there, so I guess I don't know if we'll see that someday. I did want to talk about last night I
Marie.
Went to the Arroyo Grande City Council meeting, where they considered the NCMA, the Northern Cities Management Area, strategic plan and how to fund it from their end. They have their own component of funding for a 5-year water conservation program that they're embarking on. And these are my favorite topics. Water. Recycled water, talking about how to fund it. Basically, and I encourage you to all watch the replay of the meeting. The council was very thoughtful. The staff was very thorough. The discussion went on for about 2.5 hours and very little public comment. Most of it was the council working through the items before them. And, you know, they're talking about the future, they're talking about reliability and recycled water and how to work together to get a common goal for a safe basin yield for the northern cities, including Oceano. A concern that I had, of course, is as I go to these meetings and I have Oceano on my mind all the time because I know you are disadvantaged, I know you are at a disadvantage, and I have been here to observe when you do have discussions about your finances and your water system, and I know that Oceano's in trouble. And the Northern Cities Management partners, the area partners, discussions when this item has come up in committee discussions, you've said you'd be interested in the study and interested in the plan, but that you couldn't participate due to finances. One of the things that the plan does is it is going to do some groundwater modeling, which is valuable, but even the consultant said garbage in, garbage out. There's a lot of assumptions in what may come from the study. But what a lot of it was relying on recycled water. And I'm of the opinion that you really need to know the feasibility of working through the issues at the sanitation plant before you look for where to release the water.
Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, seeing none, we'll close public comment. We'll move on to item number 6. There are no special presentations, reports. Commander Donovan's not here, so we'll go to item 7B, which is Fire Chief Ricky Heath. Good evening, Chief Heath.
Good evening, Honorable Directors and President Grow, Ricky Heath, Five Cities. This month, we ran a total of 229 calls. 77 of those came out of this station here. 55 of those were automatic aid responses into CAL FIRE's jurisdictions. And about two nights ago, the Pismo engine was on a fifth-wheel travel trailer fire, and they were doing a really good job of holding the fire to that trailer, trying to keep it from spreading to the other trailers. And we arrived there and helped supplement some water to them so that they continue their task. Other than that, we didn't have anything real significant. We had a veg fire in Arroyo Grande that started in the creek and came up underneath the structures along the creek, but we were able to knock that down pretty good. CAL FIRE actually came out and assisted us with that particular fire through an automatic aid agreement. So, and that was a pretty quiet month.
That was a tough fire to fight, though, because it was because of the steep terrain and such, and the buildings nearby, wasn't it?
Yeah, the guys were trying to get down in there to cut line around the fire, the perimeter, and I was watching them from the other side because I wanted to make sure in case the fire was spread, and I'd let them know. And they were actually dropping down like 20 feet straight down into the creek, and it was pretty interesting to watch that. So.
Yeah,
but they did a good job.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You have a question?
Yes,
Karen?
I do.
Oh, sorry.
Different agencies, they just don't allow us to clear that kind of stuff out, so we're not able to do anything to enhance that. We did have a couple of small fires along James Way yesterday evening that we're not sure what the start of the fires were. There were just spots here and there along the trail, but because of the marine layer and everything that we experienced in this area, it didn't go anywhere. So we're pretty fortunate on that. Kind of, takes the fun out of fighting fire, but we're lucky. So.
No cases of poison oak?
I don't know yet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else for Chief Heath? All right. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good evening.
See you soon. Item 7C is the OCSD operations. Tony Maricino. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening, Board. Before I get started, I just want to let the public know of Oceano that our consumer conference report will be on our website no later than June 30th. There will be reminders sent in the bills to remind the public, and there will be hard copies at our office no later than June 30th for the 2013 consumer conference report. So we had 13 work orders, we had two USAs, we had 10 customer service calls in the past 2 weeks, we've had three call outs, we've had to clear quite a bit of brush to the manholes on the right of ways that we have to our manholes. We've had to bring in about 20 yards of base just to create one road to get to one manhole so we can continue the sewer cleaning maintenance. We had to replace a section of lateral on 22nd Street due to blockage, root and grease and mud, dirt got inside there. So we had to replace it. When we did replace it, we put a clean out on the property line so we can maintain it from here on out. We also attended a sample class in Lompoc just to be up on any new regulations that are required during sampling. That's pretty much all. We did about 6,000 feet of sewer cleaning. That's our biggest thing right now, trying to get these sewers up to date, clean.
When we spoke 2 weeks ago, we had talked about the generator specs and Doug Groschart and the electrical.
As we get closer to the discussion of turning ownership of the laterals over to the property owners, I mean, we have to have them clean and in good condition in order to do that. And so I think that's good that you thought about that early instead of after the fact.
we definitely haven't decided on, we still own and maintain the laterals for now.
For now.
And it could be permanently. We don't know yet.
We don't know.
What percentage of the sewer lines do we have jetted so far?
I would say, approximately 35 to 40%.
Okay, thank you.
The holdup right now is, we spent 2.5 days clearing brush and creating roads to a few different manholes on Jetty, Fountain. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of right-of-ways that haven't been maintained in many years. So it's a lot of removal and bringing them base so we can drive our vehicles on there to access them. Otherwise, we get stuck in the sand. We experienced that actually today at the airport. We actually got the truck and trailer stuck getting to a manhole on the airport and had to get it towed out onto the hardball. Lesson learned for next year.
If you ever need any good towing rope, I have lots.
We'll definitely be calling you.
Yeah,
you hopefully could. It won't happen again.
I have another question. A neighbor of mine had brought up something that she had gone to one of the restaurants here in town, and they had a backup or something going on in their bathrooms and the kitchen, so they did not stay to eat.
Good idea.
Did you hear of anything like that?
I wasn't aware of any backups in any restaurants.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if anybody had reported it or what. I just found out about it yesterday.
Nobody called us on any issues of sewer backups whatsoever.
Okay. Well, I'll give you the information after the meeting.
Okay.
When I came in this evening, I stopped at the laundry, and behind there in the alley, there was a plumber's truck. And it was parked at an unusual angle, so I assumed they were working. So,
is it a grease trap? Is it their side of the lateral?
I don't know.
Nobody's given us a call. I'm the on-call operator for this week.
Okay.
I haven't received anything.
That wasn't the same location I'm talking about, but close. Okay, I'll give you that information.
Yes.
Well, we're all working off the same.
Well, as part of my report, I would like to personally apologize to Ms. Hodson for where the discussion went at the last meeting because of my request. I believe that Ms. Hodson produced an excellent work product, helped us make strides toward the direction that we wanted to go in our finances, and that we did a disservice to an employee who left in good standing and served us well in her paid and free time. After looking at the payroll from when Ms. Hodson started working to when she resigned, I can confidently say that there was no impropriety in the way that Ms. Hodson cataloged her overtime, which never did go above 1.5 times her hourly pay, or $47.28, or the way that she utilized her time at the district. I believe Ms. Hodson only exhibited professionalism and integrity in her handling of the public finances. I also wanted to get back to the NCMA expenses, which I had spent the week researching. So I did give you guys a spreadsheet that has the WSC and Fugro, our current contracts and proposals, and the proposed ones for the next year. And I did speak with WSC consultants to confirm that the information is correct. So we can consider that during the budget discussions. But I will answer my question about the whether or not the staff support amendment got passed or not. It was authorized by the technical group, and they are continuing with those services. I found out that the decisions are made based on the consensus, and so even though we did all vote for it, and we voted against passing it because the other agencies voted for it, it went ahead without us. So, well, not without us, with us. And so we will be responsible for the payments to make up the difference in that proposal.
And what was the difference again?
It was $17,000. Well, not ours, I'm sorry. Our cost was, I believe it was $3,000. I can check that.
That's okay.
And that was for the spontaneous sampling, or
no,
which one
was,
are you talking about?
That was
because there's more to follow.
Right, yeah. Yes. It was for the amendment to the staff support services, which increased their what they did to include the strategic planning.
And we are in no such obligation to participate in every single activity. If that was the case, we would be bankrupt. Trust me, we would be bankrupt.
Yeah. I can just tell you that we
will. But as a representative for WSC and the Northern Cities Management Group, I think that we should talk about this.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it should be something we spend a long time researching.
Here's the rubber meets the road problem with that, though. If we're talking $3,000, I can't afford to have Jeff write very many letters before I've eaten up the difference.
But we're not talking about $3,000.
I thought that's what she said, our portion for that.
For that specific
this time.
Right.
Amendment, yes.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I was just going to say that we will be and may have already been billed for amounts over the original.
But our contractual agreement with them doesn't say that if the group votes one way, I mean, each individual entity is responsible for their own budgets. And so they ask when we have meetings, the technical meetings, which you have to understand is the same people participate on every single level. It's not a changing of the guard or anything like that. It's not the engineers saying one thing and the people who are making the policy decisions saying another or working in collaboration. It's the same people moving from table to table. The only thing that changes is a vague, maybe scope of work, less Fugro, you know, doing administrative responsibilities. And of course, you know, WSC's component does not do technical work, so that would fall under Fugro. But I'm very familiar with our contractual agreements with them, and there isn't, I'd really have to see it in writing that says that we are obligated that if they want to spend $400 million, you know, building some kind of sea bubble or something, whatever comes across their minds that night, that we are fiscally responsible. They would have drove us into the ground 15 years ago if that was the case. So,
I do realize we are in a hard place because of this, because if they continually all vote for something and we continually vote against things,
But we don't continually vote against things.
No.
We do not have the resources that the metropolitan cities around us have.
Right.
Okay, what resources we have is that we've done our due diligence and worked very, very hard to build one of the best water portfolios in this county. Okay, and then possibly in the state of over right. How Oceana spends their money, that's simply not true.
Yeah.
On the important stuff like the annual report to the courts, what we are court-binded to do, right? Yes, and how do you do a quality report? I think that quarterly sampling of the water wells is totally appropriate, you know, and you can do your characterizations and stuff, but at the end of the day, you know, somebody else has done the characterizations, right? And we don't have the money for those kind of activities. Are they gonna stop characterizing that one pool of water ever? No. Those studies will go on forever. You know, so but we do have to talk about it.
Yeah, I agree. The strategic plan that they just put out does mention one of the goals being formalizing the structure, the governance of the group. So it is something that we need to talk about as a board and research what our options
But that topic has not come to the tables yet.
Right.
I think we should do that. And
I don't think we should jump the gun.
No, but I think we do need to look at our obligations and our...
Most definitely.
And that was all. I was just trying to, it was just an information gathering process. I was just trying to find out where we stood in their eyes and what all the numbers were. So that is the end of my report.
Anything else?
No.
All right. Well, Ms. Blackburn and I obviously had a finance committee meeting, which the product is the agenda item. There was no sanitation district plant meeting, so I'll turn the mic or the floor over to Ms. Lucy.
Well, I attended the Northern Cities Management Group on Monday, the week before, on a Thursday. I attended the Zone 3 Zone 3 advisory body, which is, as most people know, is set up to direct the Board of Supervisors on the Lopez Dam water. So during that meeting, a drought conditions resolution, for lack of a better term, was created and drafted. And I have passed this out, and it's available to the audience and stuff. I think what they're trying to do is very admirable, you know, in a sense that they're trying to control the drought, although I'm a little concerned about the conditions that were outlined. But this is what was created, and it was passed, and it was voted on, and Oceano actually did not vote in favor of this resolution. Secondly, as I attend in the Northern Cities business, so one, you have become lenient a little bit and been helped out people. Sometimes they then turn it from being a luxury and or, you know, a right. And we're at that place now, I guess, in a sense of the word, is that some people think the allocations should be released first, surplus, you know, second. County took it upon themselves to, you know, put a lot of thought into how they wanted to release it. But, you know, water is fluid. And so, you know, how much water do we have in the dam, and how do we look at the releases and the scheduled releases and the environmental releases, and what does that really mean to the health of the dam? And so you have to go back and look at the entities and see, make sure all the bases are covered, and sometimes the policies and procedures go fluid as well as with the water. So Pismo Beach doesn't like this very much. So they're saying that there's a different calculation than what's been practiced in the last 5 years, and not working for the county, I really can't speak to, you know, that. I'm sure they didn't change the mathematical formula, but there it definitely is a difference in how allocations are released. You have to remember is that we have only so much capacity in that line. So when some people, the state water purveyors, if you'll remember, back in, I guess it was about 14 months ago, maybe it was longer, 16 months ago, the state came down with a demonstration project for all state purveyors. We had the first right of refusal. Oceano chose to buy $62,000 worth of that water. We voted on it. Okay, well, that wasn't a continuous source of water. That was a demonstration project. So you can't really add those kind of things to your formula. When you go to look at your portfolio, it has to be things that you're locked and binding into a contract, and it's not fluid. Our state water contract is not fluid. We have an agreement with the state of California, and it's binded by a contract that we get so much acre feet, period, end of story. We have a binding contract with Lopez Dam for, you know, that we are vested partners and have an interest in the water that's in that dam. And we have a contract. Well, I probably wouldn't buy one, but somebody else might, but I'm not going to. I want water that's going to come into that house forever. You know, so it's kind of those situations with temp water versus, you know, permanent water and such. And so Pismo Beach, being a state purveyor, they received the same offer that Oceano did, I guess, about 16 months ago, and they chose to sell that surplus water, that state plan water, thinking that the surplus would be released as usual, as regular, on time. Now, I think that they probably minimized the drought slightly, and they sold that water. And so now I'm not saying that that has anything to do with it, because they're not claiming that, but they're definitely upset that they're not getting there's no break in water. You know, the line is full to capacity almost. I mean, really, it really is full. It's pumping, you know. It's just they don't like the order on how things are being released, and has threatened to go forward in going through opening up the contracts, the Lopez Dam contracts and such, but I don't want to talk about that yet because I don't have enough information and see how far that was go and how fiscally responsible that would be to all the entities and what would be the bottom line? I mean, really, we're going to give the keys to the watershed to Pismo? I mean, so I wanted to keep you that. Those are some policy issues that I think the community needs to know about and keep their eye on that. Every story you read in the newspaper, there's more stories to follow in those words. So it's a multifaceted issue. Second thing I wanted to talk about that's really, really important is the county's been working fast and furious, and I have to applaud Carolyn Berg for, I know she spent massive amounts of time and has been extremely patient and more effective than I could ever envision in getting the statewide, the Lopez, I mean, the San Luis Obispo County state countywide plan to the state. It's time. It's like the master plan. I call it the plan of plans of the strip. Don't mark my words on that one. But so it is an important thing. It's 750 pages long. And I have made copies for people if they're interested in going online and taking a section that say you're just interested in what's happening in the South County. Just pull the South County part out, you know, and just look at that part. But I think it's real important that people try to familiarize themselves with it. And then also, too, is we'll have a disc up in the front office that has all 700 plans, I mean, pages on it, and knock yourself out. So Lori and I are both working on that and getting our comments in and participating pretty active on that. So,
because that's the draft, right, that you're referring to? The draft is out?
Yes, okay. That's the draft, and public comment deadline is July 7th. Mm-hmm. And I do have, I'll give it to Marie and she can upload it to the webpage and stuff. The webpage and every way you can participate and how to submit public comment.
Do you know when the surplus issue is going to the Board of Supervisors?
Only the shadows know for sure. I have no idea.
And then my only other question was, you said that you voted no on the proclamation, is that right?
Yes.
I was curious. I'm curious about your reasoning.
Well, the Board of Directors had voted that we were not in favor of releasing surplus and that we are in a serious, serious drought. The health of the dam is in serious jeopardy, and we as a board chose not to release surplus. To release the allocations and use whatever else you can first, and then, you know, but if you're going to release surplus, then we want our fair share. And so it would be contradictory for me to vote for this because this resolution is calling for the release of surplus.
Okay. I didn't see that on there, so.
Yeah. So I usually... I usually abstain if it's things that haven't come before the board, but on important issues, I don't think it's appropriate to abstain. All the same people. We have one seat where the gentleman is an engineer for two of the vested parties and sits on the board with a vote. That would be called a conflict of interest. But so, yeah.
Is that it? That was quite a bit.
I've been working pretty hard.
We'll attach these to the minutes, of course.
Yeah, and I am writing up the staff report on the northern cities because I think I should.
That's a ripe issue for us to talk about.
Well, yeah, especially when you have staffers screaming and yelling at the top of their lungs at people who have been elected. It gets a little wild and crazy in there. Water's a hot topic.
Whiskey's for drinking. We'll move on to Karen. Good evening, Ms. White.
Good evening. I apologize for not having a written report. Life's
crazy sometimes. I'll get one written. I went to the Zone 3 Tech meeting Thursday morning, the 5th. There was two big issues. One of them was the discussion of the extra waters in different categories that are coming from Lopez. And that's just how I say it, because there's this water and that water and this water and that water. And Mark Hutchison from the county presided at the meeting, and he told the group that it was not up to the county to decide how Lopez water is to be used, that it needed to be a gathering of all the Zone 3 participants to decide what they wanted to do, how they wanted to do it, and then take that recommendation to the county. Now, I have not heard if there is going to be a meeting, when there's going to be a meeting. I will follow it up. The other issue was they actually have selected a company which they will negotiate with to see if they can hire them to complete the habit, the 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 15-year-old, I don't know, habitat study for the Rio Grande Creek. And there was three water, specifically the agricultural, the amount of water that the Superior Water Rights holders have. Mm-hmm. And it goes from there. Anyway, I'll get something in writing. I just didn't get there. Sorry.
Do we know what company they've selected?
Yeah, it's in my notes.
Okay. I'll talk to you later. Soon.
Yeah. The one with the fanciest brochure. They had 40-page applications, and they expect when they actually hire somebody, there'll be another bigger application study dealing with the range of work and all that kind of stuff. It's just, to me, it's amazing at the amount of money that goes into
studies,
pretty pictures and studies. Mm-hmm. I am truly offended by all these studies that we're paying for. And I can't believe that there are no existing groundwater studies for the basin.
Oh, I'm sure there is. They just dispute them.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be studies in connection with the federal adjudication. There's got to be all this stuff. So here we are redoing things and reinventing things and paying for more and more and more studies. And I guess I'm just too simple for all that kind of stuff. Anyway, thank you.
You know, there's actually one other thing, Matt, that I want to report on is that, you know, this thing happened this week, and it's been going on for some time, is that there was a trailer that was a health hazard, a disaster.
Blocking the roadway.
It was in the middle of the road. It was on a private road. It was during election season, you know, and people were staying up all night and doing what they do and welding underneath trees and catching trees on fire. The trailer is blocked in front of a fire hydrant, and one bureaucratic entity couldn't talk to the other one, and we were in an election, and the damn thing sat there for 6 weeks. And so when somebody made a move and moved it out on railroad, then it became, you know, even a bigger mess, because they spread out like they were just going to take up homesteading on the side of the road. And so, you know, and people couldn't watch these camps are across the street from us. There was a camp right directly across from the district and the sheriff's department. And so when you go over the bridge up here, as you come across the trestle, what you don't understand is that there are probably 15, 20 people squirreled up underneath that trestle with mattresses and fires and, you know, basically taking up housekeeping underneath there. And it's pretty visible from the parking lot of the Senior Citizen Center and extremely accessible, which makes me really, really nervous. So Linda had put the call out, and Linda has a really good reputation with, you know, every single community entity in this community. And the main thing that we kept continuously hearing, whether you're calling code enforcement, whether you're calling the sheriff's department, whether you're calling the board of supervisors, but let me hold off on the board of soup. But the main theme that we kept hearing is, well, we can't do anything, our hands are tied. You know, when the sheriff says, well, we can't do anything, our hands are tied, look, that's a bad situation. Highway Patrol, well, we can't do anything. It's only 5 feet on state property, and it's, you know, 6 feet on county property, and sorry, we can't do anything about it. You know, it gets really, really, really frustrating. And then when you hear code enforcement tell the board, not hear it, but it gets reported to you that, you know, code enforcement has told people, oh, don't go down into that certain area, it's not safe. Well, is it safe enough for the people who live in that area? Are you saying that, you know, we don't deserve to be as safe as anybody else needs to be, you know? No, it tells me, one, we need a new code enforcement person, you know, who's not afraid of the communities that they're overseeing, but I was so offended by that because I can't think of any street in this town that I would not feel comfortable walking. I cannot think of any. And trust me, I'm all over the place. You know, so the way it got handled is continuous nonstop calls into Supervisor 4th District Karen Ray's office. Karen Ray's aide, at the risk of putting herself at risk, you know, put on her tennis shoes and went down there and saw it and was just mortified, you know, horrified by the situation. And then when the disaster got moved up to Railroad, Supervisor Ray came out. She drove, my roads are tied, it's on a private road, which, you know, you can park a trailer over here on your own property and you're going to get fined for it if you own the property for letting it sit there. But still, you can have this heap pile of junk that is such a health hazard, it's unbelievable, parked right there on public property. So it kind of went back to the mentality of how damaged, you know, we truly have felt over the past. And if the neighbors, I mean, nobody would allow that to move into there. I mean, you couldn't move it. Every time they tried to move it, it would fall apart. You know, they had plywood and drywall wrapped with tarts and tarps and ropes and going around and around and around and around like a spider web, you know. Every time they move it, the junk would be falling off to the sides and on the ground. And, you know, oh, my, I've never seen anything so horrifying. So I really want to thank the Board of Supervisor Karen Ray for actually, you know, getting up, putting her tennis shoes on, her big girl pants on, and going down and seeing what was happening. You know, because Sheriff's Department, their hands are tied. Highway Patrol, their hands are tied. Code enforcement, well, that's too dangerous for them. So, you know, I do want to thank her for getting, and I feel bad because I don't know where the next community the dude landed in because I didn't follow him.
I can tell you where it's at. It's in John Boy's lot now.
Oh, it's still in town.
Yeah. They pulled it over there. Apparently they called him out to come move it because I saw it sitting over there in his yard. So eventually that'll probably go up to the junkyard.
Yeah. So anyway, I did that over my weekend.
At some point, some government agency is going to have to deal with all these old motorhomes and trailers, and they all seem to come or appear to be sitting in Oceano. People don't use them anymore, and they tow them to storage, and then they don't pay their bill, and then I don't know what's going on. I have a question on something else.
Mm-hmm.
We've got this South County sub-regional workshop for the IRWM. Yeah, and I was wondering, who would be going to represent us, or do we all need to go? Or
well, we encourage everybody to attend the public workshops, you know, and so when rates go up and things like that, you know why you're not screaming and yelling at me about it.
The meeting is Friday, June 20th, 1 to 3 p.m. at the Napomo Community Services District, 148 South Wilson Road Street in Napomo.
Correct. And we'll have this posted on our website. And it is actually at the county website now, the whole schedule, which we'll put that on the website too as well. But if you enjoy reading and want to see what your community is doing and what the plans are, you know, hey, I'm staying up to read it. It's actually keeping my interest. I mean, there's parts where you just flip right through it. And then one more thing, too, is that because the dump station has been backed up, our lovely visitors are just now just opening up their RVs and taking a nice little sunset stroll down the beach while their brown water flies down on our surf. And then by the time they hit the beach and hit the gate, it's empty, and they take on home. And this is being reported like so much you can't even believe it. So...
Wow.
Yeah, Parks and Recs, they don't ever... I mean, in fact, when I saw it, Parks and Recs just drove right by it, waved to them. Because I looked up underneath, I go, what the heck is that? And I knew what it was. Not good.
That's why most of the businesses will take their handles off of the faucets so they can't use them.
Well, they're dumping their brown water on the beach.
Fill. Yeah.
Yeah, and the alleys.
And they have a company that will come do that.
But not for free.
Yeah.
And they don't want to sit in line. Yep. So.
That's a huge fine.
They don't care.
If they caught. I don't think you will
move
on.
Okay, let's talk about some money.
Let's move on to item number 9, which is the consent agenda. We have a public comment on the consent agenda. Is there any public comment on this item? All right, we'll close public comment. We have three items. It's A and B. A has the minutes of May 14th and May 28th, and item B is the cash disbursements. There is an amended cash disbursements that came out. The total on that was $210,382.70. Is there a motion?
I had a question.
Yes. McLaughlin spoke about letting a part-time worker go. Very minimal. It was just letting was missing a T.
I'm sorry, I can't understand what you're saying.
Oh, I'm so sorry. On item 10, I can hear the difference now, sorry. On item 10, the public comment on the May 14th, it said Ms. McLaughlin spoke about letting a part-time worker.
Oh.
And it's L-E. There's only
letting
one T in letting.
Letting has got two T's in.
Okay.
And then right underneath it, after $70,000, there's a period, and I don't think that there
should be a comma.
Maybe. And then on the next minutes, if I can find the page, on the May 28th minutes, on item 10C, the cash disbursements. The cash disbursements were approved, but the WSC disbursement was removed.
Right.
That was all.
I'll make those corrections.
Thank you.
Put them with the packet. Make sure that they're in there.
I think one of the questions, not really a question, but I wanted to bring up because it jumps out at me every time I look at it. Monthly, we're sending checks to Fergo Consultants, and this month it's just under $3,000, $2,926.66, and this is not like a one-time fee. This has been continuing month after month after month, and that's one of the issues that I have with it is they keep redoing the things that they're doing, but we get billed for it again. And I'm not sure how to slow that down. We had kind of talked about doing that at one of the meetings, and they said, yeah, well, we could, you know, we'll work on that. But I really think that a lot of times, I've seen them a couple times go down and test the well, and I'm curious as to if there's a consistency on testing. They said there is, but it just seems like they're doing a lot of testing that is duplicated it doesn't change that much from one time to the next because they're doing them quite frequently now.
They're getting ready to test again in July.
Yeah, I just saw them last week.
The girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy was just walking.
Every quarter. Because it doesn't change it much.
Well, perhaps what we should do is revisit the whole Fugro NCMA item at a future agenda item and maybe, you know, end up with some communications to them saying, hey, you're spending too much money, we need you to slow down. Or whatever we decide to do.
I think it's been mentioned at times.
Or we're tapping out.
Yeah.
Well, Jen, you just did extensive research on it. Do you think it's justified?
Yes, as of right now, we have not reached the contracted amount for the NCMA report, which includes the quarterly monitoring, but they also just recently did, I believe it was towards the end of May, the enhanced sentry collection, so they did an extra monitoring because of the sharp decrease in the well amounts.
Well, hang on. We're on consent agenda here.
We're on a consent.
So why don't you put this at the bottom of the agenda so we can talk about this? Because either we're going to move this invoice through, or we're not going to move it through. You know, but we can't let it get stale.
Well, I guess the question would be: do we pull this and discuss it later?
Discuss it right after the warrants, because it's a invoice.
So, do you want to keep items 9A, do you want to just approve the minutes as far as the consent agenda and then bring 9B down as a business item to discuss what you want to do with it?
Make it the new 10B?
Yes.
Why don't we do that? I'll make that motion.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. 9B is now moved down to 10B or to follow 10B. So the item then is on item 9A. Is there a motion to approve as modified?
I move that we accept the minutes.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Any opposed? All right. Minutes are accepted by a vote of 5-0. We'll move on to item 10.
Lori, did you second?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for doing those, Marie. I know that is an additional added burden on you.
We'll move on to item 10, business items. We'll take public comment on the business items at this time. There is now two, the discussion of the draft budget and then also the 9B discussion. Ms. Tacker, good evening.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I do want to again object to the format of the meeting because here I am talking about the budget before you, before any staff presentation about the NCMA expense that maybe in the future we just simply attach all invoices to the warrant packet associated with the NCMA expenses. Then you can watch as you are tapping that contract and that money goes away. I understood that the hiring of Mr. Ogren was going to reduce attorney bills. That hasn't been the case since he's been hired. Excuse me?
So the contract hasn't gone into effect yet.
Okay. But it was approved in public. So some things that I think would be helpful for you before you embark on the budget are a third quarter review to know what your status is at the end of the third quarter. A current reserves, some sort of tabulation to show you where you're at, because we haven't seen anything like that in a very long time. I can only ask questions. Are you going to begin making payments on the debts that you incurred last year with the internal fund loans? And if you do another internal loan for the water fund that is in deficit, in deep deficit, what would its terms be? I know you talked about a rather lengthy discussion about the AGP video contract. You are under contract until 2016, and I would encourage you to remain engaged in that contract. One of your directors suggested a survey of whether or not the community would like that. I would have to say that you've never surveyed the community on other expenses that were much more and turned out to be very damaging, including a jetter.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Board. I am Nancy Castle. I am CFO of AGP Video, and I came down tonight in case there is, that hasn't been a choice that's been made. We have very little control. All we do is we get a feedback from all of the microphones, and some of the directors have a harder time speaking into the microphones than others, and that is where a great deal of the fluctuation in the broadcast happens. If there are individuals who are having problems with hearing the broadcast, they may have issues with their reception in their homes. Other jurisdictions have telephoned us with addresses of people who have complained. We haven't gotten any of that direct feedback from Oceano. Our number for AGP Video is 772-2715. If anyone has any issues with the broadcast quality, needs help, please get in touch with us, and we'd be glad to try and facilitate either any issues we may be having, help the CSD, and also contact Charter in case it is a Charter issue that is impacting a particular reception at home. I do sincerely hope you choose to continue our contract. We have one woman who calls us every time after a meeting to find out when the meeting's going to be played, and we have many others who contact us. We also know that there are people who live outside of Oceano who are watching the meetings regularly and have interests in Oceano and want to be able to pay attention. So I'll sit and listen, and if you want any more information from me, I'll be glad to provide it.
I do have a question. Thank you again for your email earlier this week or last week, whenever it was. I can't remember specifically now, but is there any way to determine what viewership is in Oceano?
We haven't, I mean, I don't know if the CSD got any response to Director White's request for people to call. There haven't been any surveys done since Charter actually took over the old Sonic and old Falcon franchises, and Pavo was involved with a lot of that processing. There were surveys done at that time, and the numbers of people who at least looked at the channel periodically were, you know, networks would die for, so to speak. They were very high. I mean, there's an element of these are our neighbors. Maybe people don't watch a whole meeting at one time, but if they're over here, they go, well, I'm not pleased with the conditions on that project. So no hard evidence, though.
I don't think what we have a problem with is broadcasting. I actually like it. But what happens is that people get extremely irritated from the quality of the broadcast. And I do know that there are a lot of people up in Cambria because we follow Cambria, you know, so they go on and watch Oceano. And so, you know, I know up in the North County they're very, you know, familiar about what's going on in the South County. And it's the quality. And the last time we went through this, you yourself assured us that if we had changed the microphones, you know, then the quality would increase. And so the district absorbed that cost and changed the microphones to this style of microphones. And now it's being said, well, you have a bad receiver. It's your receiver, right? Well, now we have a completely new system where we could just upload it online. But it's going to cut off a certain segment of society from viewing the TV. So it's not that we want to do this. It's that people start to get frustrated that we're now taking good dollars and putting it into not an audible system.
We did recommend you change to these microphones, and when, like now, when you're speaking directly into it, it sounds, I can hear it very clearly. There are also other issues with the amplifier system that's set up in the cupboard over there, I point over there. You know, I would very much appreciate it. If you've got people calling you saying that they're having trouble or that they don't like the quality, give them our phone number. And let them call me and let us talk to them about whether it's the issues of lack of mic use or if there is, you know, I'm not saying there's one size fits all. There's a variety of issues that can occur with any sort of broadcast like this. And it, you know, it may be, you know, one night a crew member doesn't turn the audio up as high as we'd like it to be. Then we boost this, when we get it back in the office, we boost the signal on it. We do check things. I listened to the meeting from the last meeting, and I could hear everybody.
But that was a good, that was because everybody was so irate about the quality, and we've all gotten so many calls that, you know, and we once again had been schooled by the technician.
You do that, but if we have addresses of people who are having problems.
Yeah, and that's so fine. I'm sure you're going to get a couple calls after discussion, but I'll definitely turn over numbers to people, you know, that we all hear it. It's not just me who hears it. So we just want to get to the bottom of the problem and continue, you know, really.
Well, that would be most excellent.
And I think, what did we spend? Oh, Nancy, I think we spent about $14,000 last year. Was that about right, Marie?
Yes.
Okay. And one of the things that we have done, and the board will recall, is that we during closed session, if we hit to 3 hours, we were letting the AGP go, so we weren't incurring overtime expenses with them, and then we were doing announcements. We have a portion on our webpage now that's our report out of closed session. So those were all, you know, cost-saving measures that we've already taken at this point, and so.
Yeah.
So we'll address item 10A then. That is the discussion of the draft budget. There were a couple of changes that got made. I was actually going to turn this over to Ms. Blackburn. Since we came
Are we working on the right document here? This is the document you want us to be working off of?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
The draft budget, it should. There was a few things that happened. I'll just bring those up real quick. If you look, it's not listed on a page, but for the JPA quarterly payments, we're anticipating a 2% increase, which would take it from 709,520 to 723,710.
You want to tell us what page you're on? When
yeah.
You
yeah, it doesn't. These don't have page numbers.
It's page 33. Yeah. It would be page 33.
I'm showing actually page 17.
You're looking at the summary.
Oh,
I'm looking at justification. 17's fire. 33's fire.
That's the individual.
Okay,
fire.
So we're talking about
33.
The KPA,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. We can go to page 33. That's fine.
Okay.
So instead of 709,520, a 2% increase would take it to 723,710. And then that bottom number for total expenditures would be adjusted as well by, that's about $14,190.
President Guerrero,
yes.
I also believe that we can cut down on the structure maintenance. We did some items last year at the module.
That's line item 173.
And Marie, is dispatch included in this?
I think the fire authority pays the dispatch cost.
It's
Karen.
You know, we just had that conversation today. Celia took a phone call that we haven't been billed in over a year, and it was my understanding at one of these meetings that they had agreed to pick up dispatch, and it was going to be included in this payment. I don't believe it was ever put to writing, but I believe that was agreed to at one of the meetings here a year or so ago. So that's something that needs to be looked into, because that's an additional $18,000 if it's
yeah.
Karen said she'd find out for us.
Okay.
My recollection is that they were paying for it, but my recollection is imperfect.
And that's my recollection also.
And then also, there was some concerns on the NCMA. Our current budgeted amount is $47,003. The board may want to have a discussion on continuing the relationship with the NCMA.
Which page are you on now?
Yeah. I went back. I'm on page 18.
I think it's...
Okay.
I'm still looking at
Remember,
the,
we're a team, so kind of try to pull us all along together.
Some of us are a little slow at coming here.
Or if you want the individual...
That's line 380. And what other page?
What page?
44.
44?
44. It would be 44.
Actually, I noticed there. I think there are two pages, 44.
So then are you basically saying that in addition to the $47,000 that's already budgeted, with the additional $3,000 that you've committed to for their revamping their thing, that we're looking at $50,000 for the NCMA budget line item?
Yes, $50,000 is the amount for the proposed NCMA report from Fugram and the staff support services from WSC. Those are the only two contracts or proposals that are included in that number, not any of the extra projects that are suggested or proposed.
And those are going to be for WSC?
Mm-hmm. And for Fugro.
And what Fugro?
And Fugro,
yeah. Well, that's...
Surprise.
That's if we work in on a schedule. That's if we do quarterly reports. And then did Henry Weinstock get included into that line item? Because you got to put legal in there if you're going to talk about the groundwater basin.
I think there's a separate line item.
So we have Fugro, GEI.
That's on line 362.
Yep. Yeah. It's allocated $7,000 this year for 1415.
Line 362.
Well, that's like page 4 on mine.
Yeah, I said page. It's 40. You go to 44, it's on the page right next to it. You open it up. Okay.
And so, is there any way to put a stop to all of that?
Stop to what?
Weinstock. All expenses.
Well, that's why I've asked Jeff to if he could just look. You know, we're elected. We're not all engineers and lawyers and accountants and all that stuff, right? Right. You know, so to even begin to look at something from a critical eye, you may think you're an expert, but trust me, you're not. You know, so you know, we have three contracts that are floating out there that are sucking the life out of us, right? And somebody has to step up to the plate and look at these contracts. Because I can look at the contracts and I can see where the floodgates are open, but I can't read between the lines because I'm not trained in that. You know, so... Well,
the example would be this Baker Manning-Jensen letter you brought.
Yeah, right. That would be an example. Another example would be Director Blackburn being led to believe that we are accountable for every, you know, dollar that Pismo, Grover, and AG decide that they want to spend. That's simply not true. We opt out of certain expenditures. Does that mean that their projects stop? No, they keep going, you know. But we have to be selective on what we can participate in. They decided that they wanted to throw an extra monitoring thing in there. You know, they did it in June. Now they're going to do it in July. Why didn't they cancel July and do it in June? I got it, you know. But, you know, of course, they want a bill again. You know, so if we were sticking to, you know, a draw a month and doing up a good annual report to the courts, which is required by the adjudication, right, then we could live within our budget. But, you know, everybody wants more. Everybody wants a prettier package, you know. So, I mean, I'm surprised they don't have those transducers and those wells going 24/7, which when they fire those up, it costs us a lot of money. Those aren't cheap. Now, it's not a lot of money to our neighbors, but it's a lot of money to us.
Making some real adjustments to this budget once we have our new
executive officer. Well, there was quarterly budget adjustments made mm-hmm. this whole last year, and a budget, it's not cast in stone. Some of the costs you can keep fairly constant, some of them you can't, and some of these organizations that keep asking for more, as Mary has said, can really put a dent in the pocketbook.
It's a living document.
What's that?
This is a living document.
Right.
It's a plan for the year.
The other thing that has not been taken into consideration in this is that if this district has to continue to pump like we have been, the electricity bill has gone up by $3,000 a month. That's $36,000 for a full year. That's not figured in this budget. So there's other expenses that are being created as a result of the drought that could put a significant dent in the budget also.
And one thing we're not going to know until we have hindsight is whether or not the community has used less water.
Exactly.
Through conservation efforts, and we're not going to know that. This budget does anticipate a 10% reduction. We may or may not see that.
Well, and that's the thing. Even though Governor Brown has called for a 20% reduction, most of the people in Oceano do a fairly decent job of conserving water anyway, and so this budget was based on a 10% reduction in revenue as well as expenses. And so can we stick to that?
And just to be clear, directors, on this, that you're not required to adopt a final budget, even by your own bylaws or by the government code, until September 1st. I think Director White has raised an excellent point. We do have a general manager coming on board who has significant experience in the areas of water resources. And while following on Director Lucy's comments, I can look at contracts and read and interpret contracts. I would certainly welcome Mr. Ogren's input as far as the history in this area and taking advantage of his experience and how things have played out with the neighbors and with the resources that are available. And so it gets to interpreting legal documents without the understanding of the history and that went into the drafting of those documents and how they've been implemented. I think we're coming to a point where we'll be able to make some recommendations that might change these things. I just don't think we're there right now today, but this is a preliminary step.
And I think that we're not looking at real radical changes in this.
We can hold off on it. You know, this week I'm like, at least pass a skeleton, you know, at least show a good faith effort and just maintain where we are and cutting back in areas where we can.
I wanted Jennifer to address this proposed budget and something we discussed in the Finance Committee has to do with the loan from or to the water fund, and I wanted Jennifer to address our thoughts on that.
Yes, it was one of the things that I think the Finance Committee did agree on was the fact that we wanted to be able to show the true cost of services. And so one of the ways that we were considering doing that was by not borrowing from the garbage fund to cover the water fund and showing it at a deficit in order to show where we're really at. Another one of the things we were considering was, are the two loans that the water fund has that have been approved for the water fund are set to begin payments starting July 1st. Mm-hmm. And
But I thought those loans were to the sewer fund.
One of them was from garbage to water, and one of them was from our general fund, our admin, to water.
So which fund paid for the jetter?
The sewer fund.
The sewer reserves.
Okay, and the two loans to the water were for?
The $60,000 one from garbage was for and I believe the overage of NCMA expenses possibly also. And then the loan from the general.
I don't remember any.
Okay, I'll have
NCMA.
To look about that part. I might be wrong.
Why would we? That's an administrative function.
I'll have to check on that. I might be wrong about that. I might be remembering wrong. But then the other one was from the.
It's okay. Just throw it at me. It's fine.
The water fund had been so much in deficit that the general, what we'll call the general fund, but it was admin, was absorbing all the all of the deficit of that. And so if from the year 2010, 2011, it accrued more debt. The water fund did up until last year when it totaled seven.
I mean, all your, you know, revenue off those funds, except for when they want to put it, you know, into a reserve account or something like that. But you don't really want to show a profit, which we don't ever have to be at risk of doing that with our water fund, but not with our pipe. But I just don't remember it being, you know, a formal loan.
I brought the documents because I
remember we did that. We set it up at a 3, I think it was a 3% interest or something.
I believe I remember the jetter went underwater first, and then it was switched over to sewer, and then, gosh forbid, where it is now, it should have just been paid for.
It was paid for. Yeah, it was Gary Keefe. He went
back to sewer. And
why pay interest? Let's just pay it off. We had the money to do it, so we did.
Right, exactly. So you want to make a policy change to restrict the water department from accessing loans from within?
No. What I think what we're suggesting is that instead of funding another loan from water,
you have to talk in the mic, or nobody can hear you at home.
I think what we're suggesting is that instead of funding another loan from the water department from another fund in our accounting system, that we just go ahead and show it on a negative balance at this time, so that anybody that looks at it will understand that that fund is running negative, because you know one of the things we've been talking about, for example, is a rate study, and so we need to understand and get a true cost of our operational expenses for water, and that'll help show it. I'm sorry, Jeffrey. Go ahead.
No, that was okay. That was. Would you like me to keep going on some highlights of the changes that were made? Okay. Probably read, there were updates to the introductions and fund overviews and accomplishments for all of the different funds. Starting with page 11 through 13, the staff positions and the wording for PERS were updated.
Could we make a correction on page 5 first?
Page 5?
Can we start at the beginning?
Start at the beginning here.
Okay. That's our preamble.
We have to count.
Page 5, first paragraph, we forgot Rec and Parks.
Priest collection and Parks and Rec. Yep. So that should be added to the last sentence in the paragraph, first paragraph.
And is it the Five Cities Fire Authority Joint Powers Authority, or does Joint Powers be? And then the last paragraph, all emergency fire and or medical requests are handled through the 911 system via Grover Beach Dispatch, not and Grover Beach Dispatch. 911 is Grover Beach Dispatch now. Thank you. Okay. Now I'll shut up.
Okay. Back to you, Jennifer.
Okay, so where are we at now? Okay.
I think 11 through 13, we removed the district accountant and the maintenance operator or maintenance worker positions. So those were updated.
Where are you?
On page 12.
She's on the org chart.
11, 12.
That's where you are. You're on the right spot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, on the chart itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the page following.
There's no longer the spot for district accountant.
Right.
Right.
Or maintenance worker.
Yeah. On page 13, the wording was updated on the PERS section to include classic employees versus the PEPRA employees.
And can I interject here? Under one, there's a cost of living adjustment. Excuse me. This budget does not include a cost of living, a COLA, for any district employees. This was something I would like to revisit at mid-year to consider a 2.5% or some percentage of a COLA adjustment for our employees.
Right.
I would have liked to do it now, but I don't.
Well,
think
you know what? Yeah, but there are some employees. I think that the ones that have passed the 1 year mark, you have some that are just getting automatic increases, increases.
Step raises, right. Correct.
They're not performing any better or anything like that. They're just, you know, the system's working and they're making more money, right? So, do we really want to give a cost of living increase?
No.
To you know, that, but, you know, but people who are past those stages and rightfully have earned those cost of livings because they do their job, you know.
Those aren't COLAs. Those are just step increases.
Yeah, but at a certain point, you don't get step increases anymore.
Correct.
Or if you're a salaried employee, you don't get step increases.
Correct.
So that's where COLA steps in and does provide minimal, really, and it's minimal because, gosh forbid, we ever make it to 4%, which I would like to get there someday. But where is the justice in that?
Well, I want to see at least a discussion because I am in favor of a COLA.
Yeah. Did you want that in the budget?
To revisit the statement that it'll be
I think
revisited.
That the board will consider a COLA at mid-year budget review.
I support that.
Yeah.
We're not committing to it. We're just saying we're going to consider it and see where our finances are.
Yeah.
And I believe the reason that we decided not to do anything about it right now is because until union is finalized, we don't even know. Well, some of you may know. I have no idea what's on the table.
Right. Right, that may be accomplished in union negotiations or not, and so.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So if we'll just add that sentence under 13.1.
So you just say that when we do the quarterly update, that's when we're gonna deal with the COLA.
At mid-year, we'll know our finances better. Okay. We'll have a mid-year budget review. Consider a COLA.
Great.
Cool. We're not promising one. We're just gonna say we're gonna consider it.
We're gonna take it seriously.
Right. Correct. And I think part of that will be looking at the pay and figuring out when the last COLA was done, not necessarily when employees got raises because they had their step increases, but when COLAs got done and maybe even a comparison of, you know, what our local communities pay, NCSD, PISMO, Grover, whoever. You know, so.
In that process, Matt, are you going to look at what the benefit packages are from these other areas too?
Or do they
seem to run fairly consistent?
We just did the analysis of the other areas.
I think, I don't know. I'll have to wait and ask Mr. Ogren.
Okay.
Mr. Minnery, we just did it. When we did the union MOU, we did an analysis of the other areas. And
okay, but again, I don't know where you're at with all of that. So.
And all of that will come up when the union, the now tentative MOU expires in, I think, 10 months.
Well, we haven't even signed it yet.
Right.
They're still in the process.
Still in the negotiation, still closed session.
Well, can you finish it between now and July?
Yes, we can. Just doing my job.
Sorry. Maybe.
All right, Jennifer, why don't you, Ms. Blackburn, why don't you keep going?
I won't make any changes on the summary. All of those numbers obviously will get updated as we change other things.
And I missed some, as you know, on the fire and,
yeah. So at page 23, what would be page 23?
What's the title?
It's the admin expenditures.
Okay.
The first page of it.
This one.
Right. Oh, no.
24 is numbered. So if you look for 24 and go back one.
And they'll get, when the budget's finalized, those pages will all get numbers on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
The auto allowance was removed per the new GM contract, but $1,000 was moved down to line 280, the private vehicle mileage expense. So that was increased by $1,000.
And we did that?
Yes.
Yeah.
This time.
Okay. You did what at 280?
280 added $1,000.
Yeah.
And we deleted
20. So it is
a proposed draft?
It is correct. Right now I'm pointing out things that are correct and that are changed from last year's budget. The communication and telephone line items are going to be combined because of our new system. The professional services item, what line is that? 220, that includes the AGP. It was decreased by $13,195, assuming that we would not continue with AGP. But that now is up for discussion. So.
And on line 280, private Oh, and excuse me, I take that back. 285 classes and seminars, that's including board and staff?
No. I don't remember.
Not at that price.
No.
Well, I mean, what are we training for? We trained till our hearts were content, the staff last year.
Well, the some of the staff are getting update or increasing their water level certifications.
Yeah, they have their own classes and training line item, the water fund does, and so it would not include any water or sewer type training in the admin
it's
fund.
It's for administrative staff according to the account justifications.
Wait a minute. So this would be for front office staff to go to trainings?
Yes.
And what would they go to trainings for? I'm sorry.
Well, they've learned things like Excel, spreadsheets, some of the Tyler technology. There's been some updated training for that.
Yeah, there's
okay.
There's minute-taking classes.
All right.
Which, by the way, the San Luis Obispo court system has a new Tyler technology system that's been in effect for 6 months and is not working well.
Well,
it won't.
They could afford theirs. We couldn't afford ours.
I don't know that they can, but they didn't ask me. I didn't get any input.
Okay, I have a question. Under board member expenses, right below that, $1,500. What is this for?
That includes our classes and training and any travel. That's what I was just looking at.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. That's travel.
286.
That was 286.
Yeah, right. It provides for board member registration, travel, lodging, and meal expenses when attending classes, seminars, or meetings.
Remember, like, Director Hurdle went to the one, was it at Stanford? Was that where
she went to a lot.
Yeah.
And I think actually some of those could very well cross boundaries between those two accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The legal services was lowered due to a conversation that.
Yeah, I asked Jeff if we, you know, could reduce our budget. There may be only having legal here one meeting per month. Not that we don't love Jeff, but we're also anticipating fewer expenses with hiring and firing is always expensive, but that'll have occurred in this budget year. We're anticipating, I think rightfully so, a higher level of competence from Mr. Ogren than we've experienced in the past, and so that should cut down on our legal expenses. That's what we were planning, because Jeff has spent a lot of time, and Mr. Martin also spent a lot of time doing a lot of cleanup and backing up of our prior GMs. So.
Right.
Well, and our mistakes.
I will tell you, I looked back 4 years of this past year, and I looked back 4 years to see where your expenses have technically, your actual costs have been, and they're basically in the range of what you spent this year. And this year was, of course, a cross between me and the Hall, Hyatt, and Conley firm. You have been right in this range for 4 years, but you have been in incredibly turbulent time.
Yeah.
I would anticipate that the legal service expenses will decline.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. And I always like to think very optimistic like that, but I kind of envision that someday we move forward, right, and that the legal costs that are incurred through just being part of the groundwater basin and our other vested interest in water, that that our legal area is probably going to ramp up some. And I was hoping that since our water attorney is exorbitantly high, I mean, I think he's up in the $400 an hour now.
$600, isn't he?
When I was getting sick from it, I stopped keeping track. So I was hoping that we could strategically start pulling more of that work in-house because it's fiscally the wise thing to do. And so we keep that in mind, and because we have to have the best.
I think you're right. Right, I actually think with Mr. Ogren coming on board, the type of legal work will become more of actually helping move things forward and helping assist in navigating through legal processes for the benefit of the district rather than just a lot of putting out fires, which it has been in the last 6 months since I've been on board. So I anticipate that the type of...
That's been consistent with what it was before. It was always, you know, putting out fires.
But I think the type of services, the legal services, will be redirected.
Right. All I'm saying is, like, don't be going and filling your calendar for the rest of the year, buddy. That's all I'm saying. You know, this is a budget. It can be modified. But don't fill the calendar.
Those are good points, Mary.
Double it.
I'll turn the floor back over to Ms. Blackburn. Double it? Is that what you said?
So now we're paying for your vacations, too?
There's no vacations. Chose to go in the water business.
The admin expenses will change as we go. So I actually don't have any other notes until page 42, so I don't know if anybody wants to say anything in between those pages.
On the administrative?
Yeah.
Well, I was looking at this, and then I'm looking here, and you find it, I just set it down. Wages and salaries for administration.
Mm-hmm. You got to talk in the mic, sorry.
We can't hear
right
you.
Here. Okay.
Because
no,
they
I just
can't
talk
hear
louder.
You at home
okay.
For sure, if I can't hear you
last
here.
Year's budget was for wages and salaries alone was $303,642, so we're anticipating it to go up to $333,000. And then you start going down the line, you look at the overtime drops, but the PERS goes up quite a ways, actually. Insurance. I was looking at these numbers, and I went back over here for, in general, all the way across administration, street lighting, all this stuff, and I totaled up this amounts for employee insurance, and I took the totals and totaled them up when you add the insurance to it as well. But it looks to me like
slow.
A lot more money than what it states. But I'm not sure how I did this on the way over here in the car, so that doesn't mean it's perfectly right. You take in the state workers' comp and all these type of things, it's, you know, you're looking at it, well, right off the top, on the very top, line 10, it says total wages, $472,883. Then there's the overtime, the PERS, and all the other expenses involved. So when you get down here, you're looking at $684,000, it says. For that's everything, auto allowances and everything like that. So is that more realistic as to what we're going to be looking at? Is it $684,000? And that's before there's any raises or...
It's my understanding these were updated for... Our current staff, or our upcoming
yes.
staffing.
Yes, yeah. They are.
Okay. Well, that's when I'm looking at the other one, and I'm thinking, well, it doesn't look that bad. And then I get to looking at the total of all of it, all the additional expenses that go along with just the salaries,
mm-hmm.
the insurance and things like that. I think we need to take a really strong look at some of these things that we don't over-project increasing just the basic wages and salaries because everything else will increase as well.
Well, the overtime is down from this budget year that we're working in. PERS will go up because mm-hmm. the new general manager is going to be a classic employee, not a PEPRA one. So that's a significant difference there.
Is that calculated into this, though?
Pardon me?
Is this calculated into this?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yes.
I didn't know that it
and
was.
Medicare has no cap on it like Social Security does, so it's on
right.
total wages. So that's
okay.
going up.
Yeah, I know we had lost a few employees, and then we're gaining. So I just was curious as to
yeah,
the numbers.
And the insurance is down a little bit because there's...
No claims?
There's what?
It hasn't been any claims.
Well, that's different.
I think but fewer employees.
On 090, right? Employee insurances. So
yeah, 38.
And the justification is spells out what insurances those are.
Okay.
Dental, medical, health, death, car, whatever insurances
okay.
they are.
And that number is $800. A month per employee. Not everybody
okay.
uses
yeah.
their full $800.
Okay,
I don't come
okay,
close
that,
to it. And we have a couple of single members who don't come close to it either.
But the point being is that we just need to make sure that it's in the justification as to what insurances is.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that when we don't, something else crops up after the fact, like, oh, we forgot to include somebody's insurance.
I'm well versed on the personnel salaries dealt with insurances.
And some of these numbers may get adjusted once the union negotiations are finalized, too.
Okay. That's what I was, I didn't know if that was where we were at totally, or if we can, we're going to add more to it and reduce more to it.
I don't.
It'll work out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Jennifer, back to you.
All right.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
No, it's a discussion.
I told people to.
I was trying to do it on the way over here, and so that's probably where I am. I'm looking at the numbers going, something's wrong.
That's okay.
You don't live that far.
Yeah. I know, right?
Our 90-second commute.
The next comment is at page 44, what would be 44? It's the second page of the water expenditures.
Can we go back to 39 real quick? Page 39 on the overview of the water fund.
These guys.
On the first full paragraph of overview, which is the second paragraph there, I want to take out that last line that says, in order to balance the budget, the water fund must borrow approximately $129,414 from the garbage fund. And that's assuming that the rest of the board agrees with Jennifer and I that we ought to not borrow that money and just show it as it really is, as a negative for now, and then we can do whatever adjustments and such we need to do at a quarterly review.
You know, one of the things that I've spent a very small amount of time on the last couple of weeks is I have most of the budgets and the audits in my office from day one of the district. And when you look at the audits, most of the funds run, as you mentioned, very, very close to being either in the red or in the black. And there's money in the bank, but I haven't figured out which funds it actually belongs to. And I think that's going to be a project for the new general manager, because the district isn't broke, but that money belongs someplace. And I don't believe it belongs in administration fund, because admin doesn't make money. You know, there's water and sewer income, there's property taxes. So there's the amounts of money that are actually credited to the admin for income are very small. And usually it's an offset that there's an expense to go with it.
We have very few enterprise funds.
Exactly.
President Guerrero, I've got one comment on this, and just as a...
Which page?
On page 39, in regards to removing the
language, huh?
The line about the water fund borrowing from the garbage fund. I don't know the answer to this, because it's, I think, a question for the CPA and Director Blackburn, and I had a brief correspondence about this today. The preliminary budget as the final budget have to meet generally accepting accounting procedures and budgetary principles for special districts. I don't know what the accounting practices are for, is it a balanced budget, is it fine to borrow from one fund to pay for another to fund it, or does it meet these generally accepted principles to have a water fund that is then not funded? And that would be something I could see you're about ready to jump in.
Yeah, I actually did talk to the auditor today about it, and he said that it was fine to show a realistic budget if you were going to move forward from it. You know,
it's okay to do what, Jennifer?
To show the actual costs in the budget.
Gary Jensen?
You mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you saying? Take that out, Matt? I agree. I think it's misleading.
Right. I don't think that, because I think the budget ought to show what it is, and if we need to do other adjustments, it's kind of like opium. We're just hitting the opium pipe here. And
right.
Numbing the pain. So I think that...
Yeah, but also, too, is that, you know, I don't think that you have to have $20 million in the bank in a savings account to say, you know, hey, you know, we're sound. I mean, yeah, of course we'd like to have something more in there, but I don't think it's so dire. At least we have revenue and assets that can be tapped into without losing our principal. So I don't think it's that bad of a gloomy situation. But can I propose that we take a
yes, break? Why don't we take it? It's 8:22. Why don't we break till 8:30?
Great, thanks.
I think we're getting close.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're doing a good job, Jennifer. Thank you. All right, we'll call this meeting back to order. It is 8:31 p.m. It's the Oceano Community Services District. Where we left off was Ms. Blackburn was going through some of our proposed changes. I'll turn the floor back over to her.
Okay. I believe we were on the second page of expenditures for the water fund.
Yes.
What would be the page before 44?
You should ask them if you can hear them. They can hear us.
We got the thumbs up, yep.
Okay.
That'd be page 43 then?
Yeah.
Or the original 44?
Yeah. Director Lucy brought up at the last meeting about there being a light item for the generator. And I just wanted to make note that currently there is not any money put in there for the generator. I believe it would go into line item 351. I believe. I just wanted to point that out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because you had asked about it. So, also, for the general, we talked about the NCMA expenses, and then the general fund loan payments, those are $3,535 a month, which would come to $42,426.12 for the year.
Which line item was that? I'm sorry.
That is 390, the general fund loan payment. And then the garbage fund loan payment, 391, is a monthly payment of $1,120.33, which comes to $13,443.96 for the year. $13,443.96.
Just make it 44.
Yeah.
And the 376 is for in-house admin, correct? Or is it for outside administrative services?
It's when we're all is said and done and we know the final expenses for admin, how it's allocated. So that will change.
Yeah, that does got to change because if you look at their scope of work, I would say set probably right between 60 and 70% of their work is based on water. And so that percentage of their scope of work should be billed towards the water. So just like when they were doing, 75% was fire administrative services, 75% came out of the fire fund to run those admin services. And so I was wondering if this number was generated based on the scopes of work and what percentage they put into that that effort.
I understand. I believe the admin staff is allocated completely to admin, and then it's distributed according to the percentages at the beginning of the budget. Nope, not that far. On page 20, water gets 45%, sewer gets 40%, rental property gets 4%, fire gets 4%, street lighting gets 1%, and garbage gets 6%.
Okay, so I just assume then that, well, let's just round it off to, well, 297,801, 298 is for water, correct? So,
which line item are you talking
about? You're looking at 1213, Mary. It's 260,131 for the proposed budget for this year.
276.
For what? I see 272.
Yeah.
You're looking at line 376?
272,924.
I'm looking at line 376.
Right.
Yeah. The proposed for 1415 is 272,924. I believe those are the changes for that. Oh, we did also add in the $60,000 for the multi-year water pool also. That was not.
Mm-hmm. For what?
For the water that we, it's the State Water Project Multi-Year Water Pool Program.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so so I see on line 380, mm-hmm. Northern Cities Management Technical Expense, for budget 1213, we had budgeted strictly for secretarial services $40,295,000, and then they last year's budget they had bumped it to $47,303. And actually, they requested an augmentation, but you didn't. That's not reflected in here, right? Because we did not pass that augmentation to modify that budget. And then their proposed new budget is like $287,000 or something.
Yes, it is not. The $47,000 is not accurate for the cost that we had been budgeting for, which was just for the NCMA report. It does not include all the additional proposed projects from NCMA. It only includes the NCMA report from Fugro and the WSC staff services for the report.
Okay, and the Fugro proposed new budget has an increase. It's either 12% or 17% of admin services. So when this board voted to not supplement Northern Cities Management, Fugro built into theirs the 12% increase. So this board voted not to do an increase in the WSC administrative services, right?
For next year.
So then when Fugro submitted their proposal, they had picked it up and put it into their proposal.
Yes, the Fugro.
And it states right there for administrative services.
Include, yeah, a 12%
so,
increase.
So, you know, those are the kinds of things that we really want to start moving towards bringing in-house. You know, there is nothing technical about a lot of this work, and it's really administrative work. And to bring it home is, one, more cost-effective, and two, it gives us more control over the situation that we're dealing with when it comes to the basin. Getting more of a true picture and a full picture of the situation. So,
but for the right now, mm-hmm. the 1415 budget.
Yeah, I think it's fine for right now.
But plus the additional $3,000.
It is.
So it's
right.
$50,003.
$50,400.
$50,400.
Yeah.
So the 1314 proposal is $50,000.
The 1415 proposal is.
And what increase? What percentage of an increase was that again, Marie?
I don't have my calculator.
I guess
it was 3 on 47. So that'd be about a 4% increase. Maybe.
4% increase.
That's fine.
Okay. You know what would help is, you know, is that on projects such as this where they're multifaceted with multi-vendors and multi-subcontractors going on in this, it would help if they were kind of kept together so we can see that Northern Cities Management has a relationship with Fugaro, and Fugaro has a relationship with GEI, and they're all together. So I'm not led to believe that we're, and Henry Weinstock's services, our legal services, are in that project. So I'm not led to believe that to do the report that it's just $47,000 a year.
Right.
That's just not true. Now, all the characterizations of the basin and all that stuff, that's not part of the court adjudication case. That's not how part of what the courts. That's what people want to do, and that's what people, other cities, the municipalities, have the money to do, right? But we're the smallest out of all of them. So.
Yeah. Do you suggest changes for the budget in that regard?
No, I'll just leave it like this right now. Okay. But I'm just saying it's one, better laid out, and two, it's more of a reflective picture if you see the absolute of how much this project costs, because we're looking at more than $200,000 just for this basin in maintaining to the level that the neighbors want it maintained. The courts have not asked for us to spend all that money on annually and things like that. This is stuff that people have chosen to do, and it's not that I'm opposed to the work, I'm just opposed to paying for it.
On page 51.
What's the title?
It is the sewer fund operation, programs is at the top.
Okay, so it's the sewer fund. Okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to point out that there is a comment in there about planning on doing an in-house rate study for both water and sewer in that area, just so you were aware. I also noticed, Marie, there's a period missing on the very last sentence.
I'm sorry, Jennifer, what?
There's a period missing on the very last sentence on page 51.
Okay.
And had we talked about taking out the sentence in the very first paragraph, the majority of the emergency lateral blockages?
I think that we had, and I think that's why it's highlighted, but now... You know what the change there was because when we first started, it mentioned that they were cleared by outside contractors, and we changed that because now that we have the jetter, we were able to do that. And the example was behind Efren's when our field crew spent a whole Saturday or Sunday out there with an outside plumber, and that was something I was bringing up all last summer. We need to send them a bill, and then we never did. And then they were also issued, I believe, a notice of violation, but I'd have to double-check that. So I wanted to, anyway, that's why that got changed, because it initially said we were using an outside plumbing service, but now we're not.
Okay. So how much did we spend in outside plumbing service, a guesstimate last year? About 50K, was it, or something?
I don't know. I don't know if you add everything. I don't know.
Okay, well, we should keep that towards the jetter, because if the jetter is saving us that money, we need to see that it's saving us that money.
I think that one day with the plumber was $1,300 or $1,900 for one day to go clear the line in the alley because of grease blockages, presumably because they were out of compliance with their fog program. So.
Yeah.
And then it was the next week we got hold of Wallace Group, who still does the fog program until the sanitation plant takes it over. They ran out, and they found some violations. So.
Okay. So that way we know if the jetter is really paying for itself and stuff like that.
Some of that's intangible, though, because if you're not having sewer system overflows, you're not getting fined, so you don't see the savings, because like Cambria got hit with a $240,000 or $250,000 fine when they had tree roots blocking their sewer trunks. So we haven't had that in this district, so it's kind of hard to quantify. But one of those fines would be much more expensive than what we spent on the jetter.
Well, and also too is that the accountant will pick up the depreciation on that jetter,
right.
You know, so we can just use the basic audit findings on the jetter and the depreciation value on that. So it's just something to keep in mind.
Okay. A couple pages
later on the expenditures for sewer. Line 241, rents and leases, equipment. That was increased to 24,000, and I believe, although I'm not positive, that this was to account for the rental of the truck.
Yes.
For
yes.
the jetter. Okay.
Yes.
So that
take
is there.
Take that amount and apply it to the vehicle.
And that's what I was going to say. There is no line item for purchasing a truck for the jetter.
That's well, is it $1,200 a month? Is that what we're spending?
No, it's $1,700
a month. Okay.
And as even though these line items are here on the budget, when payroll is done, they're all tracked according to whether they're working in water or sewer. So you're going to see probably an increase in the wages in the sewer department, but you're going to see a decrease as you go through with your quarterly adjustments. And so that'll be reflected in those.
On page 59, this is actually a question for Marie.
Which line item, Jennifer?
It was on page 59, so into the garbage. In the very last paragraph, any accomplishments?
Yeah.
I was just wondering, did you ever find out about the comment where it says staff will audit the franchisee's records? Is that something we need to leave in?
I don't. I was going to call them, and I mean, I don't understand why we would even be visiting that.
Okay. So we can just check into it still?
Their lists of ratepayers are tied directly to us. Anytime we have a change in ownership of property, they come to us for direction on who gets the bill at this point. So we have a real clear understanding of who's on their list of ratepayers. So, okay.
Can I ask a question on another topic when you're ready?
I am done, actually.
Okay, on line item 394, it says software lease payments.
On which account? Sorry.
It would be the sewer fund.
Okay, thank you.
Sewer fund. If this is a lease, Matt, I just asked Matt if when is the lease up on the software? And I think it might be up this year. I think it was a 5-year lease.
I think
so.
I think we have a year and a half left on the payments.
Okay.
And then did we just not get serviced anymore? Do we not have access? Does our license expire? Do we?
Oh, no. The licensing costs you about $15,000 a year to keep those renewed, in addition to the payments. We get an annual bill for the different modules that we have that are in the neighborhood of $15,000.
But the lease is up, right? And so at that point, we just buy it for a buck, or how do we do that?
I'd have to get out the...
Because when the lease is up, you don't pay on the lease anymore. It's usually a $1 option most times. But
I would have to look at the contract.
So down the line, we just got to figure that out. Because if we can...
It's $3,000 a month that you're paying for that, that'll go away in, I think, 15 to 18 months.
Yeah. Us in the court systems. Thank you, Jennifer.
Sure.
So where are we back to now?
If anybody has questions.
We didn't discuss was the line item regarding the AGP video expense.
Yeah.
Which was professional services, I'm looking back.
Under admin, right?
It's under administration, it's line 220. That'd be approximately page 23.
I'm not ready to let that go until we make some gesture to see what our constituents want. I mean, we can cut it, we can throw it away, and then find out that they're all angry at us, or we can...
ask for some input.
Ask for some input. We got water bills going out next month.
Sure. The
end of July.
I did a, my number may be incorrect here, but I think there's about 16 special districts in this county, and there's three that are listed as using a video service on the Slow Span website, or one of them, us, Los Osos, and Cambria. Which is, you know, this has been the reason that this was put on here like this was because over the last few years that I've been around, almost everybody at some point has questioned whether or not this is a service or a benefit to the community that we need to continue, or whether it is a benefit to the community. And so, we're talking about budget. Let's have the discussion. That's why it was put like this.
Yes. Well, we have an awful lot of residents who work hard all day and mm-hmm. don't come to meetings, or senior citizens and don't come out at night. So they need to decide, not just the five of us.
Sure.
I've only gotten, people's feedback that they really like it, but they don't like the quality, and the quality starts to irritate them and make them mad. You do get stopped in the grocery store and stuff like that. And being a small community where a lot of things spread very fast, it helps for them to clarify what's really going on. There is a large segment of people in Oceano who choose for political reasons not to use the internet. And some of the, people who just aren't comfortable sitting there and downloading a feed and listening to it, it's not the same as being able to crawl up on their bed and, pull their quilt up and watch the district meetings. I mean, it does keep people pretty informed, but it goes back to the quality. Do we want to keep people informed and irritate them with bad quality? Or do we just want to keep people informed, I mean, I was here when it came online, and it had to come online. The level of abuse was... It was so hostile, it was so nasty and vile that it was almost put in place to protect people from the audience who came, and it made a difference, and it made, the transparency start occurring, but the quality was not bad. It's bad.
I'm sorry, I'll try to speak
up more. So why don't we do a survey?
Well, the last survey we've done, in contrary to popular belief, we have done a survey before, several surveys.
On AGP?
No, usually on the fire department. I remember one time they went to the post office, they found the surveys all over the floor of the post office. And then I remember one time where they did another fire survey, and you sent them to the fire chief, and it was based on, should we give them a raise? So,
Well, it would be very easy to put a one-third page
survey mailer
in with their water bills that would be a separate insert that all they had to do was put back in the return envelope with their bottom of their receipt and their check.
Yeah, see, the problem with that is if we could weed out the property owners who are out of town. That's the problem. We have a lot of, property owners who are not, don't live here.
Yeah.
So if there was some way we could send them to the address. So
that would be much more expensive, right?
I would have to check with our printer and find out if it would be difficult to sort that way.
No.
And do an insert only to the local people.
Well, people who own property from out of the area may have some input with their renters. I don't know.
Well, and some of our tenants get a courtesy notice that goes to the actual address here in Oceano. So they would get that survey in with their bill, too.
Lori or Jennifer? Any thoughts on this one way or the other?
Yeah, I had talked to a few people that like to watch it on TV. I think one of the problems is change from Charter to Dish, so I get the I order the little disc for every meeting, so I have everything in case I need to go back and review. But not everybody's gonna, you know, buy the discs.
And a lot of people in Oceana really do have Direct.
Yeah.
And Dish because of the sports.
I don't get the channel. I haven't watched it in a couple of years.
Yeah, if you have Charter, you get the channel. If you don't have Charter, you're out of the car.
I had one person out of the area request that we keep it AGP. So.
Yeah, I've had all positive requests. They just don't like the quality of the product. Again.
Well, I suggest we just leave it on for right now, and then we'll...
Let's send out.
Get them a chance.
Let's get a feel for them. And I'm most interested in the Oceano community's interest.
Right.
I would not be opposed to something going out in the mailer. The problem is when we're setting precedent for everything, you know, we're going to get, well, why did you ask about this and you didn't ask about that, and why did you ask about this and you didn't ask about that, and we maybe.
Well, this is kind of specific.
Right. But
I mean,
this is specific, but then.
Well, so what do you want to do with the line item on the budget for now? Do you want to leave it where it is until the survey comes back? Do you want to increase it?
Well, we would increase it to what it was this year, the 17,190, add 13,190, so it would be. Well, I think Mary just said we could just have AGP at one meeting, maybe when we have the attorney. I don't know. I hadn't thought of that.
You know, if we're going to switch around our formats and take one meeting a month and handle, you know, relevant, you know, things, if and maybe the other meeting is going to be administrative things, right? Maybe we should think about televising the one meeting a month that handles policy and issues that really impact people. And
the other meeting a month, just pay the bills.
Yeah. And in the meantime, you know, do a survey, hear back from people, let them know, you know. And if they want it back to twice a month, like clockwork, then, you know, then we'll find it. But maybe we could do it that way. I don't know. I see it as a good thing to have. I mean, but.
How are you going to know which meetings are important?
Well, we'll just have to schedule them that way.
Because we'll make called the agenda.
I know,
we'll
but.
Make you do it.
But. I can do an agenda, but things get changed.
Well, if they're not really time sensitive, we could make the first meeting of the month be the heavy hitter and the second one not
a
so much.
Drummer.
Be the bunt.
Yeah, but you can't guarantee that's going to happen because
no.
Somebody is going to bring up some issues that something happens.
Hey, President Guerrero, I think that you got to. The discussion of whether you're going to have one meeting a month or two meetings
right.
a month, I think you got to push that to
another time and date.
Yeah.
So just leave it how it is.
So, all right, so let's make the budget the same as it was for 13-14, and we'll send out a mailer. I'll help you word the mailer then.
Okay.
I'll help you word the mailer. And
English, Spanish.
That's a good idea. Okay.
What's that?
English and Spanish. We'll have it translated.
Well, the meeting, the television shows aren't translated.
Yeah, they are.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Really?
Yeah, there's an option.
On your TV.
On your TVs.
So I don't get the channel.
No, it doesn't matter. It's in your TV. Go to your settings. It says language. English, Spanish. And then you can set anything to it.
All right.
So we'll just do them in English to start with then, huh?
No, do them both.
Any other modifications then? Or
English
there,
and Spanish.
Do we need a motion, Jeff?
I think you just need staff directions.
No. The flyer is going to be English and Spanish.
Okay.
Yeah, so staff has direction. What we'll do is we'll bring this back at the next regularly scheduled board meeting for June 25th. It'll for approval.
For what? The whole budget?
Yeah, we'll make those modifications that we just discussed. Yes, the whole budget.
In a preliminary form?
I'm sorry.
In a preliminary form? Sorry.
Are you talking about making a motion to adopt the preliminary budget and bring it back? Is that true?
No.
No, I'm saying to make the modifications, bring it back for adopting.
Okay.
for approval at the next meeting. And then the next item was what they formerly listed as 9B, which was the warrants from this evening. And so there was the question regarding the Fugro. And who had that question? Was it you, Jennifer?
Or
was it Lori? Okay.
It was me. I just was kind of surprised because I thought we had
scaled them back.
Those back and cut them off at the knees with this stuff. But maybe we need to go talk to them again.
Well, I guess I'm a little confused because we have our committee assignments.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, Lori and I communicate to them and we talk with them about budgetary and we attend their meetings and we get verbally beat up and then we get told one thing and Lori will get told another thing and now we have another director who's involved in it and so now I'm not quite sure if Jennifer has been told the entire story, parts of the story, the whole story. Was your conversation with WSC with Daniel? Did he include that he had switched the percentage of increase over to Fugro to carry it? I mean, I'm in a total loss of confusion because I just went through a 4-hour meeting with them Monday. Since it's my committee assignment.
Right. And I did talk to them the next day, I think. And so they did share some of the things that got brought up. And it was just during clarifying what proposals were in effect. So,
what projects or what proposals?
Right, well.
Which ones?
Are you asking me which ones are in effect?
No. Did they give you their $298,000 proposed budget for next year, or did they include their 17% in administrative costs for the Fugro because they're all systematically tied?
Right. I actually had made up this spreadsheet and I sent it to them, and I went over it with them on the phone, and they confirmed its accuracy and let me know which proposals had gone into effect.
A committee assignment. I don't know. I kind of feel like you're treading in dangerous waters there.
Well, Jennifer asked me.
I don't go to your finance committee meetings. I stay away from all your committees because that's your responsibility.
We were trying to figure out what the costs were, and Jennifer asked me, and I suggested that she speak with them so she could get hammer down the cost for the budget issues. And I think that's how this document came about. I encouraged her to go ahead and talk to them about the monies that were being spent so that we could have hard numbers.
Yeah.
Did it ever occur to you to maybe speak to the committee assigned board members?
No, and the reason was just that we were just trying to figure out what the numbers were that were being proposed. That was why.
Yeah, it was not my intention to undermine, and I did not give any direction in any way on any of the projects. I just asked, is this one a proposal that you're working off of right now?
And those are answers that could have been answered through the reps at the board that have been regularly attending these meetings?
Okay, well, I actually did ask, I did pose the question to you at the last meeting about which one was in effect, and you weren't sure. You had told me that sometimes they continue to go ahead with the work, but they leave you out of the billing, and so I went ahead and tried to lay it all out so that I could see it, and in laying it out, I had questions about it, so I was looking at the proposals, and the proposals did say to ask them if you had questions, and so that was...
Right, but if you had asked me, are they doing the groundwater characterization, I would have said, yes, the board is, that body is moving forward with the groundwater characterization, but Oceano is not participating in that characterization. Okay, so as far as their strategic plan and what is on the table, we're extremely versed on exactly what is happening and what projects are in the works and what projects are not in the works. When the sampling occurs, when the sampling doesn't occur, and, and what percentage is Oceana's responsibility and what percentage is not.
I think that what we were just trying to do is just get numbers. We weren't trying to direct the process at all. We were just trying to get numbers.
So then basically, you really can't set a budget number for NCMA in terms of the district until you've agreed to a budget with them.
Brought two of them to the board tonight. The Fugero and the Northern Cities proposed annual budget report. You know, so this, you know, somewhat surprised that that the board members assigned to this committee were not included at all.
I do apologize for that.
Yeah, Jennifer, I don't think it was you entirely. You know, I think other people encouraged you to do that. So, you know, I don't really hold you responsible, but that's why we have committee assignments. That's why we don't stumble over each other's feet, you know, and, you know, I try not to step on other people's committees because I don't know the relationships and the communications that board member has worked to go. And I don't go to the fiscal committee because I rely on the information that you and President Guerrero will bring back to the board.
Well, then I think that what we need to do is henceforth, everybody from their own committee needs to bring forward a document like this to the finance committee that's submitted to the board.
Well,
so that correct. We can
ask for one.
So that we can plug it in.
Well, ask for it. You know, I mean, most of us know how to use Excel.
Speak for yourself.
I don't either.
You know, I mean, people ask me all the time, hey, what's Zone 11A doing, you know? Why aren't they spending that money? Why are they collecting that assessment? And I say, you know what? Jennifer Blackburn is the representative on that. I strongly encourage you to talk to her about that. Mm-hmm. You know?
I'm waiting for that meeting to happen so I can find that out for you.
But
so
it just complicates the entire situation because it, you know, it's more than a budget. It's policy.
Well, we'll go back to them, and then somebody will say, well, we talked to
you. Well, we got a commitment
directors
from your board
they,
member.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what
you know,
concerns
we've had to go
even if you didn't,
that?
But that could come up.
We've had to go in there that for that, Mr. Geislin.
Yeah.
You know, saying, oh, no, Oceana will pay for 100% of that transducer, and fought for it, right? We had to go in there and fight for touchy about it, but, you know, it's more than just his budget.
I can just... For the record, I can assure you I did not commit the district to any any of those proposals or contracts in my phone call.
Because I know that the past accountant felt the need to go involve herself, themselves in policy and fiscal stuff with this body, and it kind of complicated the situation.
So I think, yeah.
President Guerrero, it might be a good idea to kind of bring
yeah.
us back to
so
the
this back to the warrants, hand, right?
Yes.
So the question is there a warrant that somebody wants pulled, or can we approve the warrants?
I want it pulled.
I'm sorry.
I want the Fugro pulled.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get a breakdown on that.
Well, the thing is that they're going to come back. They did their. I just happened to be their draw, is what I call that, right? That just happened. And then now they're going to do the July draw. And I think Oceano's portion of that is, I want to say about 4,000. But I think that's high.
Yeah, I was
going
to say.
Now that I look at it, no, it's not.
Marie does have the invoice. Sorry.
And those draws, are important for the annual report to the courts. But let's try to keep focused on what the courts have ordered us to do to comply with the adjudication, is to monitor the basin and do what you can to keep it healthy. You know, they did not use any language that says, oh, and by the way, break yourself running a characterization of the basin. You know, so.
Well, then if this is a legitimate bill, let's pay the bills. I so agree.
$2,900.
Yeah.
And it's for, it appears to be for.
Tech.
Yeah, it's for tech. It's for a draw for the annual report. And it's the April draw. Then they stumbled across June draw. And now they're going to do a July draw. So is this what they're saying we owe them, $2,922?
Okay, so on the food row bill, the annual breakdown, Oceana's portion is $23,298. And then, so the difference between $21,233 and $23,000 should be what their next draw
we're
is.
Gonna be short. It will be red, in the red on this.
What,
just a little bit will be in the red because we still have another draw and it'll be in this fiscal year.
I show the contract amount as being $26,228.
So is there an addition to the contract originally?
No.
Well, they have $23,298 right here on the food grow bill.
I think if we're getting actual service and this is a legitimate charge, it doesn't matter whether we're over budget $100 or not, we're going to need to pay it, would be my question. And if it isn't a legitimate bill that we've authorized, then we should hold up paying it.
Well, if there haven't been any changes to the contract that were signed by somebody that are in writing, I'm not paying anything over the $23,298. That's their contract.
Yeah. So what are we at now?
23,298. And to date, including this 29,266 that's in tonight's warrants, brings it to 21,233.52.
So we're inside we're inside the contract.
Pardon me?
We're
Yeah, you're still inside the contract, and if there's another draw coming, in my estimation, it's going to be a very small one if they're sticking to their budget or their original contract. And if they're not, then where are the changes that have been authorized and who signed for them?
So the point being is that there's not going to be a savings. So it'll run a little in the red.
Yeah, I realized where the 26,000 came from. That's the cost of the report, our cost of it. But because of a reduction in the transducer installation at the beginning of the year, the other agencies refunded us that cost. It was lowered to $23,298.
It was lowered because we paid the entire price for the Mesa Basin transducer that Geislin so generously gave them. Also true is their impacts with having minimal water resources. See, Rio Grande put a new water system in place 51 years ago, a new source of water, or Grover Beach. They said they're fine. They have plenty of water, ample water for 100% build out and some spare. Can't quite figure out where that's coming from, but that's fine. Pismo, they have a diversified water portfolio, but once again, they're a huge consumer. So yeah, their drought impact analysis is relevant to those metropolitan cities, but is it going to be relevant to Oceano Special Service District? Most likely not. So why would we participate in a $105,000 study? And you know it's not going to be $105,000. I never see a subcontractor stay within budget. So
are we paying the food grow tonight?
Yeah,
or
that's
are
the
we
question. Are we paying these warrants or?
I move
on
that
item
we
90.
Pay. I move that we pay the warrant.
Second.
All right. Ms. Blackburn, second. And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Marie, can you make sure that we keep the contract language on that? I know you will.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Move on to utility items. None. There's no closed session. Receive written communications. We've already had that letter from Baker, Manick, and Jensen. Future agenda items.
I have one.
What's that, Karen?
I have one. Yes. Everybody else is doing campaigns to save water. And I would like to see a 3 or 4 banners purchased and a dozen posters purchased that say, save water. And we could hang one from the building, a banner. We could hang a banner down at the triangle square.
Okay.
Because at Tech, it was like, oh, we're doing this, and we're doing this, and we're doing this, and what's Oceana doing? And I said, nothing. I said, but we have a sliding scale for water, and I said, that is the most effective way of saving water. But I just thought it would show our neighbors that we're a part of the team.
Why don't you work with staff, get a bid on that? We'll bring it back on the 25th.
Okay.
And
water.
Or conserve water. Or
conserve water. We could. Somebody had a suggestion that we get some bumper stickers for Oceano. One of them could say, save water, shower with a friend. And I kind of rejected that. But it was suggested. And we'd probably get pretty good exposure.
For whatever it's worth, you all, too, there's pamphlets and there's sheets, because we hear every building cycle our water bill is just horrible. And so we've got these little strips that you can put in your toilet to see if they're leaking. We have sheets at the desk. Mm-hmm. I've been handing them out ever since I came here 3 years ago. People in Oceano who really are concerned about their water bills pay attention. They really do.
Oh, yeah.
So, but banners, I think, are a great idea, too, or bumper stickers or all of the above. But they do work at saving water. And I push the staff to push that paperwork. It's been there for years. Let's use it up and make some use of it. And there's always, if you all are paying attention to your water bills, there's always water-saving tips on your water bills.
Well, I just thought also we have tourists coming through. Well, some of them do.
All right. I like the idea. Karen, any other future agenda items, or should we adjourn?
Yeah, actually, if we could consider in August, early, maybe mid-August, of doing a water workshop, I think it will be valuable to all. Because I don't think people understand what the drought is.
Sure.
And to be honest with you, the state's calling for a 20% reduction. You'll wish it was 20%.
Okay.
So, and then we should have some expertise on board by then, and because I think the community is very interested in the topic. They just don't know where to get the information.
You think by mid-August we'll know if it's going to rain in mid-September?
No. My driveway was wet yesterday.
I had to use my windshield wipers this morning. But.
Oh, yeah. Our trees are certainly thankful for that.
Well, right now the pipes are flowing. The pipe is full of state water. There's no more capacity in there to do anything. So, it's about what we have for the future.
Should we put a discussion about the Food Grow WF?
The court adjudication, court-ordered annual report of the condition of the groundwater basin.
The NCMA.
I'll check with Tony tomorrow if he has it in format.
He does.
Then we'll put it on the website.
Yeah.
If it's not there.
Yeah, it should be posted.
Okay.
Anything else, Jennifer?
And also, we need to, there is a move that some people, Pismo Beach did state Monday in the meeting that that Ben Fine did want to have the Zone 3 administrative functions turned over. And so that is a issue that's going to be coming down. And I think we can catch it in the workshop. I think it's a horrible idea, but to change administrators, but, you know, but it has gone, you know, it's official now, and Monday he was prominently just beating on his chest about it, so I think it's in the pipeline. I don't think it has an end point, but I think it's in the pipeline. I didn't see the value of it, but it's in the pipeline.
Are you suggesting a future agenda item on that?
Yeah, I'm suggesting that the board actually be informed about what's happening around them.
Okay. That would be regarding Zone 3 and more specifically incorporate the Pismo Beach letter to Rita Neal.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Are we done?
Yeah, if there's nothing else, we'll adjourn. It is 9:20.
No.
Oh, no, Karen? No, we're done.
Are you?
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Sorry. I thought you...
I need...